come to the fountain and drink. Come to the fountain drink, and Jesus gives you strength and courage. The fountain of the cross can never run dry for me. Come to the fountain. It flows to you. Drink, and Jesus will give you strength and courage. Drink always, O soul, so that your strength increases. Then you have the power to handle the sword of the Spirit. Then you have the power to handle the sword of the Spirit. Come to the fountain. It flows to you. Come and drink, and Jesus will give you strength and courage. Then, when your run is complete, then you will drink from the fountain of life with God in paradise. You will drink from the fountain of life with God in paradise. Come to the fountain. It flows to you. Come and drink, and Jesus will give you strength and courage. Beloved, we are very grateful to God for this precious invitation, also through the songwriter. Come to the fountain, it flows also to you. Come and drink, and Jesus will give you strength and courage. And we may time and again say, as often as we come together here, He never disappointed us. Always we were fed and satisfied through His precious and holy word. But not only that this hymn writer says it, but God Himself says in His word, through the prophet Isaiah. There He gives the invitation in chapter 55 and says then through the prophet, "Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Is this not a wonderful word? Oh, everyone that thirsteth, and I believe in the natural we have enough to eat and to drink, but for what our heart and soul longeth and thirsts is for the living God. And we need him, especially in these days, where probably there is a pious world which call themselves pious, but actually, if one looks at it closely, they don't want to know anything of God, and they reject his word and do not want to respond to what God has to say in our days. But we may say, God has a people who like to hear what he has to say. And I think we may number ourselves to this people, and it's not out of merit, but because grace was given to us. And we are so grateful to God that he illuminated to us his word in these days. We see it also on Israel in those days. It was a pious world, and the Lord came as written of him in the prophet. We know he was announced through all the prophets. And when he came, what did they do with him? When he brought redemption to them, healing, this and that, what did they do with him? They rejected him. They refused him. They delivered him to the cross. Brothers and sisters, friends, the same can be found in our days. But in those days he had a flock, a little flock, who paid attention to him and to whom he could open their hearts and their understanding for his word. That's how we see it from the Holy Scripture. And the same is also in our days. And we cannot do otherwise but to thank God that he called us, that he found us, and we want to go with him day by day, hour by hour, until we come from believing unto seeing. This is our faith. We believe the word of God. Now, I deal with many people also at work, and if one tells them something from God, when one speaks about it, then they say the word may not be taken so precisely, this was not so meant, and so forth. And they don't want to have anything to do with the word. They refuse it. But for the true believers, God's word is a reality, because the true one has said it. For us, it is precious. We appreciate it, and we love the word of God with all our hearts. And this is our fellowship with him and with one another. And so we're grateful also for this service. Let us now stand up and ask for the blessing from the Lord. Faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts, also for this hour, for this fellowship, also for this wedding. Lord, you blessed us already richly in the past times, and also today you are still blessing us. You spoke to us already through your precious and holy word. We worship you, and we ask you, Lord, be present with your spirit and with your power. Manifest yourself through your precious and holy word. For we know your word is spirit and life. Words of men pass away, but your word remains until all eternity. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word remains forever. And for this we are so happy, and we give you alone the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a fountain in Zion. Thanks be unto the Lord that this is still right today. Everything what God ever said is right throughout eternity. Words of men cannot be relied on. This we all know. Not only you cannot rely on others, not on us either. Everybody can include himself without hesitating. Neither of us can be relied on. If it is about spiritual, about eternal things, there must be someone who is above every mistake, above every error. When it comes to eternity, then we cannot deal with people. Then we have to deal with the eternal one. I would like to start by saying, for the comfort of all of us, that we will only have a short service today. Today we are guests and we celebrate a wedding supper, and therefore we will not hear a long sermon. Sometimes the Lord speaks very briefly and His word falls deep into our hearts, and we are already done. A word is upon my heart, which fits very nicely to this event from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. Here we read from verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. So far, this biblical story of the kingdom of God. Our Lord, in the Gospels, used a number of parables to show of what it is about. It is about the greatest wedding feast of all time, about the marriage supper of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords, to which the people are invited. Here on earth, the invitation goes forth. In glory, the marriage supper will soon take place. We can now not go into the plan of salvation, but this we may say God has a concept. God has a plan. God knows what he wants. The people don't know it. That's right. And in the religion, he cannot be found. But whosoever seeks him humbly with all his heart, of him he can still be found today. The matter of God is very simple and becomes accessible to all who come to him. Here we are told, go forth and invite. The marriage supper is prepared. Everything is ready. You may come. And what was said to them who were inviting? The one brought this excuse and the other that, and they didn't come. Just imagine, some queen, we don't have any, but when the queen would invite somebody to a wedding feast, oh, how honored we would feel. Just imagine, there would come a very personal invitation. Queen the Second, yes, and we would tell all the people, listen, just imagine, this is the invitation. There is a wedding in the Buckingham Palace, and I am invited to it. All would come to know it. Neighbors, colleagues, this would be the main subject in a village. Well, we are dealing here with a much, much greater invitation. The King of Kings, our Lord, invites. And the nice thing about it is, he does not address all the earthly royal houses, but everyone on the street. Go therefore into the highways, not to the royal and princely houses, not to Baron so-and-so, but go into the highways, to the people of the street. Invite, and everyone who hears this invitation and accepts it, he shall be guest of the Lord. This is not a fairy tale. This is reality. And so we rejoice that this divine call has come into our life. Also we, who we are here today, somehow we were on our ways. Suddenly we were addressed. Suddenly we were made attentive that God has planned something with us, that he has a concept, that he has revealed his will on earth, and already it started to burn in our hearts. With God, it's a wonderful thing. Love at the first conversation, at first sight. And if we may make this comparison also today, when God in Christ turned his face toward mankind, it was the look of love and nothing else. God turned his face to mankind in love. He had to become man for the sake of man. Today, I have an article before me, which I will show you briefly, or I will refer to it, that really shocked me. And you all know about our Lord. In all of the church history, time and again, it was debated. The greatest theologians, they could not agree who he really is. Is he God? Is he man? Is he one God? Is he no God? And thus it went to and fro. But in all of the church history, there was never a time in which people have forgotten themselves in such a way as in these days. The cup is really full. With Jesus Christ, many years ago, they made this superstar and so forth. But now I was really shocked when in the last Time magazine, this is the greatest weekly magazine of the world, of the 7th of May 1984, on page 44, here Christ shall be shown. And the writer writes some things here. And he is here with long, tousled hair, with women breasts, in such an undignified way, he is shown. And is in the great cathedral of St. John in Manhattan. This is a suburb of New York, just like Brooklyn. There, at the expense of the United Nations, with our tax money, Jesus Christ our Lord was blasphemed. And then it says here so nicely, no more Christ, but Christa, a female first name. And this shall be our Lord. As a woman with tousled hair, with bare breasts shown on the cross. I'm asking myself, how far shall the blasphemy of our Lord still go? The people have lost the fear of God. They live as if there would never be a judgment of God before every person must appear. It is incomprehensible. If people don't want to believe, they don't need to. But has anyone ever seen someone doing something like that with Buddha or Confucius or Mohammed as they do it with our Lord? It hurts us because the Lord loved us and he has given his life for us so that we can be saved from death. And if we consider that our God looks down from heaven and sees all this and registers it, and nevertheless, in the year 75, they started, and the granddaughter of Winston Churchill, she gives here the report and says also some things to it. Christ as our mother shall be displayed here. What shall one say to it? The words are missing. One can say nothing to it. One can just say, Lord, forgive these people. They don't know what they do. We live in a time in which people have lost their mind. They go beyond every limit which is permitted and make fun about the Lord and then even about the crucified one. For us who we believe in Christ our Lord, the cross is a symbol of the redemption. Not only the cross, but the crucified one. If our Lord would not have gone to the cross for us, if he would not have taken all our sin and guilt upon himself, if he would not have taken our place there on the cross, then we could never have lived eternally. We would have never had forgiveness of sins. We would never have found grace with God. Therefore, everything what has to do with our redemption, it is just holy to us, because the holy God revealed himself in Christ our Lord. After the body, he was man. He was eating and drinking. He was made in the likeness of men. After the Spirit, he was the Lord, the King of kings. For all the other men, they died and they were buried and this was their end. Our Lord said beforehand, I will rise on the third day, and I will go before you to Galilee. And this happened. On the third day, the mighty earthquake took place, and the Lord came forth as the risen one, as the one who settled the account with death, who settled the account with the devil, who came forth as the victor over everything what affected us as mankind. And therefore we love our Lord, because He did all this for us. If we now invite people to come to Him, then not to a religious fellowship. No, precious friends, here are no memberships. Nobody is saved by man here through some kind of sacrament. Here we come together in simplicity as very normal citizens who we have pursued our professions for years, but we were touched by the grace of God and have experienced our salvation. Therefore, out of this inner conviction, we may say to others, come to the Lord, accept this great invitation, take it seriously. Don't send them away who invite you, and don't say, now I have no time, I will think about it. But understand that this invitation goes forth by a higher, by a divine command to all who would like to come. Anyone who wants to come to Him can do it, but no one is forced to do so. In heaven, there will only be people who really want to be there. God will force no one to go to hell, and He will force no one to go to heaven. People are here and make their decision for eternity. It's up to everyone. God won't do anything. He did everything already. So it's up to us whether we receive the grace and the salvation which was offered to us in Christ, and that we become aware of that our Lord came to us. He became man to redeem us, to take our place, to die our death, so that we can live eternally. A believer has really, in the divine sense, he crossed over from death into life. He has already received eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Eternal life does not come by death. Eternal life was given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, the Holy Scripture says, he who believes in the Son of God has eternal life. He who does not believe in Him has not life. Here, back, just briefly, to this wonderful invitation. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. If we take this word seriously one day, shortly before closing time, then it will be our task to practically address everybody and say, listen, dear lady, dear sir, here is the invitation to come to the Lord. The time of grace is coming to its end. The door of grace will be closed forever. Do you want to accept your salvation, or do you want to bypass it on your own risk? Go into the streets, invite all who you find, and tell them, everything is prepared, come, and behold, the wedding hall was furnished with guests. On that glorious day, which God planned already and for which He prepared already everything, among these people I want to be who go into glory. You all know, everyone who was born into this world must also leave it. It's only the question, where do we go? At the cemetery, no one will be able to change anything, and in a church or in a denomination also not. The decision must be made by everyone before his death. Happy is the man who can meet the Lord, not in self-confidence, but in the assurance of faith to have been pardoned by God. And there are always special occasions which our Lord uses to speak to our hearts. One such occasion is a wedding, and another occasion is a sad one. But this is a happy occasion to invite people to come to the Lord. Here such are mentioned or described who have heard the invitation but didn't take it seriously. The one went to the field, the other into his business. Everyone had his own way. Everyone had his own excuse, and they didn't hearken to it. And the king became angry and said, those invited were not worthy of it. Therefore, go again to the streets, hedges, and fences. Invite as many as you can find. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. In the last book of the Bible, it is described to us how it will be there in glory. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, we read from verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His bride has made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He says unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He says unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What a wonderful word. You all know, in the Word of God, the past, the present, and the future is fully described to us. There is no book which can be compared. There is no other book that gives us real information about God, about creation, about heaven and earth, about life and death, about everything, than only this book of God. And for this, we are grateful. So, here we are told, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Jesus Christ, our Lord, in connection with our redemption, He is described as the Lamb of God. John, the forerunner of our Lord, cried out on one day, Behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And here it is written of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because as the Lamb of God, our Lord paid the price through His shed blood on the cross of Calvary to choose Himself a bride, to redeem her, and on the day of glory to take her to the great marriage supper. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His bride has made herself ready. We see the bride, who we may see here sitting in the first row. She prepared herself. Also for this marriage, preparations were made. Even people have a concept. They plan. Preparations are made. God has a concept. He made preparations. He not only redeemed us through Jesus Christ our Lord, but He prepared glory for us. He has given it to us by His grace, so that we miserable people, who we are born in sin and transgressions, that we one day, dressed in white, like the bride, dressed in white, not with our own rags, dressed in white linen, justified before God, not in our own righteousness, justified by the faith in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which shed its blood for us. And then we may be there, dressed in white linen with the Lord. And it says here, these are the true sayings of God. To this, one can say a deep, heartfelt hallelujah and praise be to God. These are not the words of a man. These are the true words of God. And all who let themselves be called and are pardoned by God, they will receive these true words and throw all doubts overboard. You all know there are three kinds of beliefs, namely the belief, the unbelief, and the misbelief. But people who find their way to God, their faith is anchored in Him and in His Word. Everything else, what deviates from God and His Word, can be so decorated with religion, with scriptures and pious proverbs. It must be in conformity with the Bible if it is to agree with God. And if it does not agree with the Bible, then it cannot agree with God in eternity. Because the Bible is God's word. God had to show a way, and He had to give a measuring rod. He had to set rules, and leaving them to us, so that on that day He can hold people accountable. If God had left us to our discretion, how could He then judge us on that day? Then we could say, Dear God, we didn't know it at all. And then He will say, You have had 66 books written from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And therein I revealed unto you from the first to the last page my will. So, no one will have an excuse. This is the divine measuring rod. This is the only book of God which exists on earth. And blessed is the man who does not interpret what is written here to the left and to the right, Roman and not Roman, Greek and not Greek, Protestant or all kinds of directions. There are hundreds of them. Blessed is the man who does not interpret anything of that what is written here, but who believes it with all his heart, as it is written in the scripture. Such a man has the promise and consent of God that he will be happy and blessed, and that God cannot lie. You can rely on it. God is not a man that he lies, or that he would give a promise which he does not fulfill. God is true, and therefore we have read now, these are the true sayings of God, not the words of a preacher, of a priest, of a man. These are the true sayings of God. How wonderful, how nice that we can believe with all our hearts, without any fanaticism, without bossiness, without knowing everything better, just believing simply what God has said to us in His Word. It is the most precious gift which God can give to a man on earth. Everyone who goes without the Lord from time into eternity, he is already to be regretted. No one can imagine what it means to die and then to be separated from God. We have heard it in the word of introduction. The Lord says, come all unto me, eat and drink. You don't have to pay for it anymore. Everything is paid for. Everything is ready. And right in the next verse, we could have read on. In Isaiah 55, there's written, seek ye the Lord as long as he can be found. Call upon him as long as he's near, because the day comes on which the door of grace will really close, and then many will come and cry, but it will be too late. Today, the Lord calls to us by grace, in love, and says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest for your soul. This great divine invitation we want to have given today in a worthy way, with all seriousness. May it reach our hearts, and may the decision be made in all of us to follow the Lord, to accept the invitation, and to belong to them who on that day will be dressed in white linen, without trouble and death, without sorrow, without sickness, without harm, to be there with the Lord. And not only one day, throughout all eternity. And don't worry, it will not be boring in glory. Always new surprises. Paul, the great man of God, was taken up in the Spirit, and he says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what has not entered into any man's heart, this God prepared for them who love Him. He loved us. Should we not love Him in return? He has given His life for us. Should we not give our life to Him? Let us do it today, looking up to our Lord. Amen. Let us sing a hymn. It was upon my heart in connection with His Word. Hymn 151. Listen, your Savior is inviting you. Come, come and see. Come to the marriage supper. 151. The Savior is inviting you. Come and see. come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let the message sound forth. God forgives all the sinners. Come, come and see. Tell it to the little, tell it to the great. Come and see. No one will be cast out. Come, come and see. The message goes forth. Mountains and valleys reverberate. God forgives all sinners. Come and see. Come, before the night comes. Hurry up, come and see. Jesus saves, Jesus heals. Come and see. Let the message sound forth. Mountains and valleys reverberate. God forgives all sinners. Come and see. God wants to be merciful to you. Come and see. He wants to serve you at his table. Come and see. Let the message sound forth. Mountains and valleys reverberate. God forgives all the sinners. Come and see. The last answer is so precious. God wants to be merciful to you. Come and see. One has to come to see it, to experience it. He wants to serve you at his table. Come and see. Let this message, not a message, but this message, the message of God, let the message sound forth. Mountains and valleys reverberate. It is nice when people experience a true thunderstorm in the highest mountains. Then it doesn't bang once. Then the echo can be heard so many times that it is majestic. Here it shall sound forth time and again. The echo shall reverberate from everywhere. May God give it to all of us, that we understand it, how well he means with us. He didn't need to look at us. He could have let us go down without caring about us. What made him to come down, to become man, to take upon himself all reproach, letting himself be smitten and stricken, to go to the cross, to give his life and blood? What made him to do it? One more Bible verse. I will not read it. I just quote. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Let us pay attention to the call of God. Let us obey it and let us say, Lord, now I understand it. Also me, you have invited. I come. Here I am. Now I believe with all my heart in you. Be merciful to me. Forgive me. And today, we can have the greatest day of our life. As the songwriter sings, this was the nicest day which God ever gave me when Jesus came into my dark life on earth. Let us stand up. Let us sing the chorus, "Just as I am." Heavenly Father, humbly bowed, we come into your holy presence to speak with you. If Christ would not have died for us, then we could not speak with you. Your wrath would still be upon us. But now, we found grace in thy sight. We have accepted the invitation. Lord, you have received and accepted us. You have given us forgiveness. You pardoned us. We thank you for it. Faithful Lord, our hearts are deeply touched of that what you have given us. You have not blamed us for anything. Everything you have forgiven us, every transgression, in fact, everything with what we could not stand our ground before you. You atoned for it when you shed your blood on the cross of Calvary. Faithful Lord, may all understand that we love you because of this reason with all our heart, thanking you for that what you have done. For we were without hope and without God in this world. Now we have found you, you faithful Lord, and in you we have the living hope, for we shall be with you forever. Lord, it hurts us that people in this time undignify you. Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Be merciful to them. You are our Redeemer, and we may be your possession for time and for eternity. We ask you, faithful Savior, come soon and take us home. Lord, we want to be with you. Oh, we are longing to come into your glory, to sit down at this large table, by grace, dressed in white, fresh, young, without trouble and death, without worries, without harm. All the earthly will have been left behind, forgotten forever. Everything will be wonderful and new with you, you faithful Lord. O Savior, speak today in a special way to our hearts, very mightily through your word and through your spirit. We ask you also, bless now the marriage supper. Lord, bless all who will partake of it. O God, and let us have it before our eyes and consider that also you have prepared everything and that one day there with you on that great wedding day we will participate. Worship and honor be to you, the eternal true God, for your eternal true word which you have left to us. Blessed and praised be thou, O Lord, throughout all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, be praised. The Lord has blessed us. Amen.